like to welcome you all to our special Children's Day service. Before we begin our program, on behalf of all the Sunday School children, I would like to say a big thank you to all the superintendents and all the Sunday School teachers for being so faithful in teaching us all year. The theme of our Children's Day program is light. For each of the hymns and readings, you will hear about how Jesus Christ is the light and how we must spread his light in his dark and sinful world. I'm going to invite the whole Sunday School choir to come now and sing two pieces. The first piece is Jesus Bids Us Shine, and the second piece, This Is the Light of Mine. Clarice Halliday will sing a solo verse, Jodie Donaldson will read a verse of scripture, and the very youngest class of our Sunday School children will also sing a verse on their own. If you think they are doing well, don't be afraid to give them a smile.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Bible says in Luke chapter 11 verse 33, no man when he hath lighted a candle putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light.
Bye.
much, everyone. I think all the practice has paid off because lots of people smiled. Now I'm going to invite James and Josh Castles to the pulpit to do two Bible readings.
The scripture reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
The second scripture reading is taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Thank you, James and Josh. You did very well, because I know it's not easy standing up here. I'm now going to invite a choir of the older Sunday school children to come and sing Send the Light. Rebecca Abernethy will sing verse 2 and Lewis Parks will sing verse 3.
Send the light, send the light.
Thank you, everyone, for taking part this morning, and we really hope you all enjoyed our program. Before I hand the service back to Reverend Abernethy, I'm going to invite Isaac Carson to read a poem.
There is a lighthouse in the storm, by Norma Beard. Sometimes my life is like the sea, and raging waters cover me. Sometimes my path is smooth as glass, and then a rainstorm comes to pass. But if a storm cloud brings you pain, remember, rainbows follow rain. And though the journey has you worn, the darkest night will lead to dawn, when there's a lighthouse in the storm. There is a cross at Calvary that covers those who will believe. And when your boat in life is tossed, you will find the answer is the cross. And if a flood begins to rise, sustain your faith in Jesus Christ, so you need never be alarmed, for he will keep you safe from harm. For when there's a lighthouse in the storm, there is a lighthouse in the storm. Though my sails are beat and torn, there is a light that holds the key to peace of mind on troubled seas. As his light is shining bright, I seem to lose my fear of night. For when you're safe within God's arms, you know you'll never be alone, for he's the lighthouse in the storm.
Our positions, we're going to stand and we'll sing the first verse and the chorus, and then Miss Logan is going to come, and the boys and girls are going to listen really carefully. She's going to come down to the front to do the message and the address today. So we'll stand, we'll sing this verse, the first verse in the chorus, and then immediately Miss Logan will come to bring the message to our hearts.
For the very kind words here. Welcome this morning to Portadown. It is really lovely to be here with you, and especially to hear the boys and girls singing and taking part. You did so, so well. I was really, really impressed. Your singing was amazing. Everyone who went up there and spoke was amazing. You did brilliantly, especially with a broken leg, must say. Very well done. And he said that it isn't easy standing up here at the front, and I can testify to that. It is not easy, but it's very lovely to be here with you this morning, boys and girls, and you have done a brilliant job. And I have to go back to my home church in Resharkin and tell you them all how well you did. But you're not finished just yet, because I need somebody up to the front to help me in a wee second or two. So many hands, that's what I like to see. Good job. But before we do that, we're going to pray first, because we're going to ask and going to come and ask God to help us, and we need his help this morning, and we're going to come and ask him to come, be with us, and speak to us. So I don't know if you've been taught this before in Portadown, but I'm going to teach you a little thing to help us all get ready to pray, because prayer is something that's really important, because who are we talking to when we pray? Are we just talking to the ceiling, to the sky? Who are we talking to, boys and girls? Who knows? Who are we talking to? Yes, you and the God, yes. So we're just not talking to anybody, we're talking to God. So we come to pray, we have to get ourselves ready. And I'm going to teach you the ABC of prayer. Have you heard about this before? Okay, well, if you haven't, he's listening. So A, we're all going to fold our arms, all right? And B, we're all going to bow our heads. And C, we're all going to close our eyes and our mouths. Okay, can we try that one more time? So A, what we're going to do, fold our arms, good job. B, we're going to bow our heads. And C, we're going to close our eyes and our mouths, good job. And let's pray unto God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, Lord, for this meeting here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the help that was given to each little one and older one too. We just pray, Lord, that thou would even touch the hearts of each person in here this morning, even as they listen to the children sing, Lord, and take part. We pray especially for those in here this morning who are not saved, even the older ones, the younger ones. We pray that this morning that they will come and put their faith and trust in thee. We just pray, Lord, that thou be with us, Lord. Give us help, Lord. We need thy help this morning. For your sake, we ask all of these things. Amen. Now, Sonny's got her hand up already. Right, I need a boy to come up. Yep, you in the waistcoat, you had your hand up pretty early. Yep, you come. Now, so, what you've got to do, boys and girls, you have to try to tell me, okay? You're going to try to guess what we are going to do, what our lesson is going to be about this morning. So what's your name? Lewis. Lewis is going to do a bit of dressing up this morning for us, okay? So you've got to, is that okay? I probably should have told you that before you come up, but anyway, you're here now, that's it. So, you boys and girls, older ones can play along too, you're going to have to try to figure out what Lewis is going to be dressing up as this morning, and then what story we're going to look at. So I've got a bag, and I've got some things in this bag, all right? So first thing I've got is a lovely big long cloak for Lewis to put on. Okay, so you're going to think about what we're doing, all right? And if you think you know, you can put up your hand and tell me what you think it is. So here goes in there. And I must admit, this is a little bit big. It's an adult size. Couldn't get a child's size. But there we go. You're looking marvelous. Oh, just wait. Oh. Okay. So who would like to try? Pop your hand if you think you want to guess what Lewis is going. Number, the outfit's not done yet. All right. Do you want to have a go in the check shirt? No priests. No. No priests in here this morning. No. No priests in here. Well, wait. Try another guess. Go for it. Not a minister. Right, one more guess before we get the other thing in Lewis. Does a girl maybe want? Do you want to guess? What do you think? No? Any other girls want? All the boys are guessing. Any of the girls want to have a guess? The girl's all too shy. All right, you in glasses? All right, let's see if he's right. Because guess what else we're going to get on you? All right, Lewis, I'm going to mess up your hair. I hope you don't mind. Oh, okay. You don't care. Good job. That's out here. Well done. This morning, Lewis is indeed dressed up as a judge. And one more thing that a judge needs. What does a judge need? Winnie, a hammer. Good job. So we've got our wig, we've got our cloak, and we've got our hammer. And this morning, we indeed are going to be looking at, you're right, we're going to be looking at a judge that we find in the Bible. Now, can anybody really smart tell me where in the Bible we read about the judges? What book in the Bible could possibly tell us about the judges? What book? Yep, you, the girl in the glasses, do you know? Well done, good job. Judges, indeed. So, this morning we are going to be looking at a story, or the lesson this morning will be about a judge in the Bible. Now, what is a judge? Don't worry, Lewis, we'll get you done in a second. What is a judge, boys and girls? What's a judge do today? Anybody know? Hopefully none of you have ever been in front of a judge, but what do you think? What does a judge do? Yeah, be down the back. Mm-hmm. Good job, that's right. Yeah, so if you go before a judge, all right, so say, for example, I hope none of you ever do this, but say you stole a car, okay? Now, you might say, well, I didn't steal the car, but the person who owned the car will say, oh, no, you did steal my car. And you will go in front of a judge. You will give evidence to show whether you stole it or whether you didn't steal it. And the judge will listen. He will listen to the two stories. He will gather all the evidence together, and then he will make a judgment. He will say whether you are, anybody know the word beginning with G? Yep, somebody said it. Guilty or not guilty. All right, if you're guilty, you're punished. If you're not guilty, you're let go. I know, boys and girls, judges are not new things. Because as we said in the Bible, we have the book of Judges, which tells us about judges during the time who judged the children of Israel. All right, Lewis, thank you very much. You did a brilliant judge. You never know, maybe when you grow up, you'll be a judge yourself. Okay, anybody know any judges in the Bible? Now, you're going to have to stand because you're standing on it. All right, there you go. That's it. Anybody know any judges in the Bible? Yes, see your hand up. Huh? Joshua was not a judge. You're very close, though. You're very close because Joshua is the book before Judges. Anybody else want to have a go? You down the back. Deborah, yes, Deborah was a judge. She was a judge. Any other judges? You want to go? Get it? He was a judge too. You still, we'll give you one more guess so you can get the judge we're going to look at this morning. Yes? Pontius Pilate, he was a judge of sorts, right? He wasn't a judge in the book of Judges. He was a judge on in the New Testament. Okay, one more guess. Yes? Yep, you in the red tie? Yes? Lewis, oh, sorry, Lewis, yes. Any of you? Just somebody, sorry, guys, someone. Go for it. Jesus, well, yes, that is right. Jesus will be a judge. He judges, will judge us at the end when we judge as well. We're right or wrong, sinful or not sinful. Okay, we're going to tell you what judge we're going to look at this morning. The judge we're going to look at is the judge Samson. Anybody heard of Samson before? Yeah, of course you have. Good job. Now, I'm not making this story up, boys and girls. Like I said, we read all about this in the Bible. Anybody brought their Bibles with them this morning? Good job. Now, what you can do when you go home today, or now if you want, you can turn up and you can read all about Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 13, all the way, I think, to the end of chapter 16, all right? So if you want to go home this afternoon, you can get your mummies, your daddies, your grannies, your granddads, whoever's looking after you, you can go home and you can read through the story. Make sure what I'm telling you is right, okay? But today, this morning, we're going to look at the story of Samson. So our story begins, actually, with this lady here. Who do you think this might be? Anyone want to try to guess? Yes, Samson's mummy. Now, we're not told Samson's mummy's name, okay? We're told his daddy's name. His name was Manoah. But we'll start our story with Manoah's wife, okay? And one day, she was going about her business, and an angel came to Manoah's wife and told her that she was going to have a little baby boy. But he was going to be a very special baby boy. He wasn't going to be like the other baby boys. He was going to be very special because God was going to be with this little baby boy. Who was this little baby boy going to be, boys and girls? Samson, yes. Now, the angel gave this woman, Manoah's wife, three very important things that she was to do about Samson. I want you to remember, because I'm going to ask you this later on. three very important instructions about Samson, how Samson was to be raised, okay? Now, number one, Samson was not allowed to cut his hair, okay? No, he wasn't allowed to cut his hair. There has been no razor come to Samson's hair. Number two, Samson was not allowed to drink any wine. He wasn't allowed to drink any wine, okay? Number three, he was not allowed to touch anything that was dead or unclean. They may ask you, what does that mean, unclean? Well, back towards the beginning of the Bible, God came and gave the children of Israel a list of animals that were clean and a list of animals that were unclean. And the unclean animals, they were not allowed to eat, they were not allowed to kill, they were not allowed to touch, okay? So that was what Samson was not allowed to do. So what was number one? He was not allowed to cut his hair. Good job, brilliant. Number two, he wasn't allowed to drink any. Perfect. And number three, he wasn't allowed to touch anything that was perfect, unclean or dead. Good job. So these were the three rules that are the three things that Manoah's wife was told how she was to bring up Samson. Because Samson, we are told, was going to be a Nazarene. And God was going to be with Samson as long as he kept his promises. And so we're told that Samson, he grew up. Now, does anybody know what the special thing, what Samson is known for? He was really, what was he? Strong. He really, 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 really strong. Stronger than any other man. He was super strong. And indeed, Samson was, because we're told about many things that Samson did, which showed his strength. What's this here? What is that? Can everybody see it? A lion, yes. And what did Samson do to the lion? He killed it with his bare hands. That showed how strong he was. He was able to kill a lion with his bare hands. What else was Samson able to do? Well, we are told that one day he went to a city and he had an enemy called the Philistines. And the Philistines and Samson did not get on. We're going to see that near the end of our story. And we're told that Samson, he went to this city and the Philistines tried to capture him. And we're told that he took the gates of the city and he simply pulled the gates of the city out and he killed 30 men of the Philistines here in that city. Again, showed how strong he was. Other things that Samson did, we're told that one day, the Philistines came up to him, they were fighting him, and we're told that all that he had was the jawbone of a donkey. You know where you got that bone there, your jawbone? Well, that's all that he had as a weapon. And he was able to kill 1,000 Philistines. 1,000. With just the jawbone of this donkey. What else was he able to do? Well, we're told that another time he went to a city called Gaza. And there, again, the people in the city tried to capture him in. They tried to lock the doors of the city. Because back in those days, the cities would have had doors that were locked to keep everybody safe inside. And that's what they did to Samson. But we're told that Samson just simply went during the middle of the night, got the gates on his back, and walked many, many miles away from the city. That was how strong Samson was. But boys and girls, the sad thing is that though Samson was really strong, Samson also had a great weakness. He had a great weakness. And that was that he fell in love really, really easily. So he did. And he fell in love with people he shouldn't have fallen in love with. Because we're told that Samson, he fell in love with a woman called, anybody knew the woman? Do you want to have a guess? Delilah, yes. You know, boys and girls, Samson fell in love with Delilah. But the sad thing was that Delilah, she did not believe in God. She did not believe in God. You know, boys and girls, for a while now, Samson had been getting further and further away from God. Do you remember what animal did he kill? The lion. Now, the lion was an unclean animal. And we're told that he went back to that lion and he took honey from the dead lion. Now, did he break his promise? Yes. Remember what was one of the promises he had to keep? He wasn't allowed to touch anything that was dead. I know slowly but surely, Samson began to get far away from God. He began to forget about God. He began to just live whatever way he wanted. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes, even as Christians, we can do that. And I hope some of you in here this morning are Christians. And I hope that there are. But you know, sometimes we can just get far away from God. We can let little sins enter into our hearts, which means that we no longer have a great relationship and fellowship with God. And we can sometimes just go on living as if God doesn't exist. And that was the way Samson was living at the minute. He was living as if God did not exist. He didn't remember his promises. He had sin in his heart. You know, even as Christians, boys and girls, we can have sin in our heart, which means that we are far away from God. But thankfully, as we're going to hear later on, we can come back and we can ask God to forgive us of the sins we've done. And we can come into fellowship again with God. Now, who did we say this woman was? What was her name? Delilah. So Delilah, did she believe in God? No. And in fact, the sad thing was that Delilah did not even love Samson. She was just pretending. You see, Delilah had a great love, and her great love was money. She loved money. I know we're told that the enemies of Samson, and remember the enemies, the name of the enemy beginning with P, the Phil. Yep. Go for it, check shirt. Philistines, good job. So the Philistines had come to Delilah. They had told Delilah, asked her, Delilah, if you can go to Samson and you can find out what makes him so strong, if you can find out what that is, each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver each. Now, we're not told how many people were there, but that was a lot of money. And Delilah was like, no bother, I'll find out what Samson's weak, or where Samson gets his strength from. Where was his strength? It was in his hair. Now, God gave him the strength, true, but his hair was a sign of his great strength. So we're told that Delilah, she came up to Samson one day and she's like, Samson, you're so strong, Samson, stronger than any other man. But tell me this, why are you so strong? Where do you get your strength from? What would make you like other men? Now, Samson, what was it? It was his hair. But Samson didn't tell her that. Instead, he told her, well, Delilah, what you got to do is you have got to take 7 new bowstrings, all right? So anybody done bow and arrow before? Done archery? Anybody done it? Well, you know the way there's a string from the top to the bottom and you pull it back and you let it go? Well, that's what she's talking about, that string. And he said, if you take 7 new bowstrings that have never been used before and you tie me up with those strings, I will be as other men. Now, is that the truth? No. So what do you think happened? When Delilah, she tied him up with a string and he fell into sleep, she tied him up. And then she invited the Philistines in and she woke Samson up and she was like, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. What do you think Samson did? Well, we're told he simply got up, he broke the strings and he fought off the Philistines. Now, how do you think Delilah felt? What do you think? Do you think she was happy? No, she was mad. She's raging. I don't know if you have that word down here. Do you have raging? Do you say that down here? She was raging. So she was absolutely raging. She couldn't believe it. And she was like, Samson, you've mocked me. You've lied to me. How could you do that? And she kept going on at him. And again, she asked Samson, what makes you so strong? So again, she went back to him. She said, Samson, what makes you so strong? And Samson was like, well, Delilah, I'll tell you. What you got to do is you've got to get some new rope that's never been used. You got to get that rope, tie me up with that rope, and I will be as other men. Now, is that the truth? No. Again, he told her a lie. So Samson fell asleep. Delilah, she tied him up with this new rope. Again, the Philistines came in, and Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. What did Samson do? He got up, and he did what? He fought them off. He did it again. How do you think Delilah felt this time? Oh, she was fuming this time. She couldn't believe it. Again, she said to Samson, you're mocking me. You're telling lies to me. And again, she asked him the third time, Samson, what makes you so strong? Samson came and said, well, Delilah, if you take my hair. Now, he was getting very close. He said, if you take my hair and if you weave it into a loom. Some of you maybe never heard about a loom before, but this is what a loom would have looked like. And this is how they made carpets and rugs. And you would have weaved the bit of thread in and out and then and out and then and out. And you made a lovely carpet. And she was like, if you take my hair, or he said, if you take my hair, remember, he was getting very close to the truth. If you take my hair, if you weave it into the loom, then I will be as other men. Now again, wasn't the truth, but it was very close. And again, what happened? Well, he fell asleep. Delilah did it. Then the Philistines came in and she woke Samson up and be like, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. What does Samson do the third time? He got up and he fought them off. Now, you know, I think Samson should have realized at this point what Delilah was doing. But no, he was so in love with her, so blinded by it, that he stayed with Delilah. Now, Delilah, again, was really cross, really, really cross. And she said to Samson, "Samson, how can you say that you love me and not tell me the truth?" And for many days, it's told in the Bible that for many days, she kept going at him. She kept saying, "Samson, how are you so strong? How are you so strong?" Do you want to know some boys and girls? Very sad thing happened. Did Samson tell her? Yes. Samson came and he told Delilah how he was so strong. He told her, "Ever since I was a child, no razor has ever touched my hair. But if you cut my hair, I will be as other men." Boys and girls, Samson had now just completely forgot about God. He broke his promises to God. He no longer thought about God. He was just living for himself. And what do you think Delilah did? Well, she caused Samson to go to sleep again. Now, we're told that she didn't even cut his hair. She got somebody else in to cut his hair. And the sad thing is, boys and girls, that Samson, he woke up. Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Samson woke up. And the really sad thing is, boys and girls, that he didn't even realize that God had left him. He didn't even realize that his strength was gone. He got up and he was like, "I will fight them off as before," not even realizing that God was no longer with him. What happened to poor Samson? Well, he was captured by the Philistines and he was put into prison. And we're told very sadly that they took his eyes out so he couldn't see anymore. And that they put him into prison and they made him do the work of a horse or a donkey. They put him to the mill to grind the flour or the wheat into flour. And he would have had to walk round and round. Now, we're not told how long Samson was in prison for, but he probably was in there quite a while. Now, Samson, of course, might begin to think, feeling pretty sorry for himself. Maybe he's thinking, "Why did I end up in here? What did I do wrong?" But you know, after a while, he began to think. Began to think of all the promises he had broken, all the sins he had committed, all the things he had gone far away from God. And he realized, boys and girls, that he had sin in his heart. I know, boys and girls, just like Samson, we are told in the Bible that we all are born with sin in our hearts. And you know, just like Samson, Samson couldn't get himself out of prison. Samson couldn't get the sin out of his own heart by himself. We can't take away our own sins. Who is the only person that can take away our sins, boys and girls? Yeah? Or who especially? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when he came to earth? Yeah? Yes. We're told that he died on the cross. He shed his precious blood to take away our sins. And boys and girls, he is the only one that can take away our sins. Remember, like I said, Samson couldn't save himself from prison or save himself from his sins. In the same way, we cannot save ourselves from our sins, boys and girls. Come into church, and it's brilliant that you are here this morning. Lovely to see you, but come into church won't take away your sins. That won't work. Trying to live a good life, and it's good to live as best you can and be nice to everyone and do the best you can, but living a good life will not save you from your sins. Because your mommy and daddy saved, that will not save you from your sins either, boys and girls. Who is the only person that can take away our sins? Who is it? Anybody know? Yeah. Yes, God, Lord Jesus Christ. Because he shed his precious blood on the cross for us. You know, Samson realized that. And Samson, he came and he asked God to forgive him of his sins. He told God he was sorry for what he'd done, sorry he broke his promises, sorry he got so far away from God. And he came and asked God to forgive him. And boys and girls, that's what I would love, what we would love you to do this morning, to come and tell God you're sorry for your sins. Tell him you're sorry for all the times you broke your promises to him, all the times you sinned against him, all the times you lived as if he did not exist. And turn, repent, turn away from your sin. And ask God you're sorry. You know, boys and girls, that's what Samson did. And there in the prison house, he came back to God. And God came back to him. I remember earlier I was talking about how even as Christians, we can sometimes get far away from God. Well, somebody read this morning, if we confess our sins, if we tell God our sins and say we're sorry for them, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is what Samson did. Now, nearly finished. You've sat so well. What happens to your hair when you get it cut? It starts to grow. And Samson's hair started to grow again. Now, what was his hair a symbol of? Of his strength. And God had came back with Samson. God had come back again with Samson. And God caused Samson's hair to grow again. We know the Philistines kind of forgot that when you cut your hair, it grows again. So after a while in the prison house, we're told that the Philistines, they were having a great big feast to one of their gods called Dagon. And they decided that during this great, there was many, many people there, thousands of people there. During this great big feast, that they would bring Samson out and that they would mock him, laugh at him, jeer him, shout at him. So we're told that Samson, he was led out to this big feast. They're in a big, big building. And there was pillars all around the building. And we're told that he got the little boy that was crying, or taking him out, to place him in the middle of this building and to put his hands on either side of the pillars. Now look, everyone around him was laughing at him. They were jeering him. They were mocking him. But we're told that Samson prayed. Remember, he was back again in fellowship with God, and he prayed, and he asked God for strength. What was he going to do? Anybody know? Yeah? Break the pillars. And we're told that Samson, with all of his might, he pushed the pillars down, pushed them over, and we're told that the whole house fell in on itself. And many, many thousands of Philistines perished that day. But who else also died? Samson. See, Samson was willing to give up his life in order to help the people who he judged for 20 years. Samson was a judge during this time, so for 20 years he had judged. And he was willing to give up his life to help those people who he had judged. And again, this reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to give up his life on the cross for you, for me, to take away our sins. Boys and girls, you've sat so well. You've listened. You've taken part. Thank you so much. Thank you again for listening. I hope that you remember the story of Samson. I remember how important it is to have our sins taken away, and that the only person who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
Could I first of all just thank the moms and dads for sending the children week by week to our Sabbath school. We appreciate that. We're living in days when so many children come, 13, 14, they disappear. Sometimes we never see any of them out in church. And we asked you, if they do quit the Sunday school, endeavour to get them out to church. We had a wee girl saved at the mission there. She's maybe near 30 years of age, but she come to Sunday school years ago here in Bethna, and thank God she got saved on Thursday night in the mission. I want to thank our Sabbath school teachers for their help in the Sunday school. There's also another lady that needs to be thanked. Mr. Abernathy forgot about her. It's Mr. Abernathy's wife, Carol. We thank her for all her help in the Sunday school. I have to perform a nice duty here now, and I'm going to ask Holly and Anna to come. A couple of wee things to present. There's two young ladies that came up through the Sunday school. They never really left the Sunday school. They just quit the Sunday school and started to teach. And that is Emma Jane Cahoon. And I asked Emma Jane to come forward here. And also Alana Wilkerson. These two ladies are getting married. Emma Jane's getting married. What's the date? The 18th. So if you're not doing nothing, come down and give her a good send off. Get yourself a bag of good hard barley and we'll give them a good doing. Oh, you got it. Right. Ahead. Alana has been a great encouragement to us in the Sunday school, and unfortunately we're going to lose Alana now. I don't know about Emma Jane, so we'll be looking out for a Sunday school teacher. So if you love the Lord, and we'll have to stress that you need to be present in the prayer meeting before we'll accept you as a Sunday school teacher. Thank you very much. God bless you.
you, Jim. I'd just like to wish the two young ladies every blessing. The day's coming much quicker for Emma Jean. Alana still has a wee while. August, Alana is getting married. We trust that God will bless them both, and we thank them for their labours in the Sabbath school. Let's sing a few verses of 694. Again, this is fitting in with the theme, God, make my life a little light, within the world to glow, a little flame that burneth bright wherever I may go. We'll just sing the first, the third, and the fifth verse, and then remain standing as we pronounce the closing benediction.